Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. Excuse me. It's June 28th, 2011, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Excuse me. I had a frog in my throat. Our special guest this evening is evolutionist and vortex bioenergetic healer, Meg Benedicti. She's discovered early on that she had a unique gift for seeing subtle energies and could identify the vigorous traumatic patterns that relate to dysfunction and ill health. Over the years, she has become a notable pioneer in bioenergetic healing, first through her own transformation and eventually working with clients spanning the globe. Through her extensive research, Ms. Benedicti has created an original and powerful healing approach utilizing vortex energy, the distinctive proprietary process known as unified field therapy. In this healing program, she helps her clients to quickly change their lives by altering out-of-date systems that limit the human experience. Currently, Meg is sharing her unique wisdom and the dramatic findings of her research with ever-widening audiences in teleclass webinars, various speaking events, online radio shows, blogs and articles, and in her book, Soul Realized. As a channel to the Syrian Council, she's developed a holistic-based business that offers services and products to guide people out of a collapsing, toxic world of disease, divorce, and depression into a newly forming world reality of vibrant health, heart-centered community, and personal evolution. Visit her websites at www.newearthevolution.com and www.zeptepialchemy.com. That's ZEPTEPI-ALCHEMY.com. I've posted those websites on our show page, so you can copy them if you wish. We'd like to thank Purple Sage and Tammy for hosting the chat room and switchboard tonight. Purple Sage will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. If you can call, our number excuse me, is 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief, and tonight, please, only questions or comments concerning our topic. Now, before we get started, I'd like to remind you that if you register as a listener here at Blog Talk Radio, then click follow on our page, it would really help to get our show featured, which would help us reach more starseeds. What's wrong with my voice tonight? We've had close to 41,000 listens to our show, and so far only 336 followers. So let's get that number up. Please register for free and click the word follow on our show page. Then tell a friend. The Starseed Radio Academy team is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. If you'd like our Stage 1 Starseed confirmation, you'll get your natal and progress charts plus an MP3 of your reading, pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority and include the Starseed confirmation if you haven't had one. Both Lavendar and I are available for the Stage 2 personal consultation. Make sure your birth info is exact to the minute and include your place of birth as well as your current place of residence. If any of that is missing, it'll delay your reading until we can find out. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss it. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello, ladies.
Well, hi,
hello.
Lavendar here. Sierra, are you there?
I sure am. Hello.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to have a really exciting show tonight, and I just talked to Meg a while ago, and I love her energy. Her frequency is just really right on. She's into alignment, and I'm just real anxious. Do we have her online yet? Does the switchboard have her up?
Yes.
Okay, let's just bring Meg on, and let's start.
All right.
Well, hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really looking forward to this.
Good. Yes. Well, Meg, I know that... You have been really selected on the planet to do some very high work, so why don't you maybe start at the beginning and tell us a little bit about your background as a child and growing up and how you started understanding the alignment of your spiritual life.
Okay. It started at a very young age. I am a visiting soul, what is called a walk-in soul. I came in around 1 year old when the original soul was dying, so I came in on the operating table. And for most of my childhood, I lived pretty much living on the sidelines and observing, so I had a lot of trouble assimilating in and spent a lot of time meditating. I was able to see spirits around me. Didn't realize others weren't seeing this. So it was just a lot of adjustments. And then as I got into my 20s, I went to the UCLA, went to college, and really started to try to live the more of what I call the human life plan, you know, getting a career and getting a relationship and all of this. None of it felt quite right, though. And so in my late 20s, I was introduced by my boyfriend, of all things, to a channeler who worked with the Ascended Masters, and this is when I began to have some pretty amazing discussions with the Ascended Masters in these sessions about who I am, why I'm here. None of it really made sense at that time, but by 1994, which was when I was about 35, we had a pretty strong earthquake here in Los Angeles. It's the January 94 earthquake, and what that did was it was like lightning shooting through my system, and I had a Kundalini awakening. And from that point on, I've seen the world from completely different eyes. I knew of 2012 even back then, so it kind of opened up the pathways to my higher self and my higher knowing, and my blueprint, energetic blueprint, started to activate. And so I've been doing this ever since. I immediately started studying energy and how to work with energy, and in particular to liberate myself from a incarnation that I came into that wasn't reflecting my soul's purpose and my soul truth. So there's a lot of mental illness and physical illness and depression and panic attacks. So I had to really work for some years on getting my own healing so that I could operate here and proceed. So this is actually what got me into learning about bioenergetic healing, was to first unlock myself, and then I started applying this with Vortex Energy in 1997. I had really no idea how to use it, so I had to learn kind of trial and error. And in 98, when our planet began to align with the galactic center, I was able to really kind of amp up with that black hole vortex energy around my own body, and I started to offer it to people in sessions, and I've been doing that ever since. And it's really been kind of a learning experience from observing how it works. So it wasn't where I had a textbook or a guru or, you know, a teacher. I had to really kind of watch and learn through experience, and still am. And so that's how I have learned how to use vortex energy in a way to quantumly accelerate our evolution and the DNA transformation and opening up to the higher awareness, and realize the reason that I even have this ability is for this time now to assist with the ascension that's occurring. And then during the healing process of my own, I went into a lot of past life regressions, and that's when I began to realize I was simultaneously incarnated as a Syrian elder in the Syrian Council. And so for about 10 years, I've been dialoguing back and forth between that time and this time, and that's how I get most of my information and guidance and direction and what's happening, you know, on the planet now.
Great. Wow. So you know, I deal a lot with walk-ins and walk-in energies. I kid my friends when I say, well, I've got a PhD in bipolar and I've got a PhD in walk-ins. You kind of have to have both when you deal with those subject matters. But for you to, you know, acknowledge that you walked in at a very young age, that's remarkable. I don't find many people that have the memory of walking in that early. Usually they have memories of it much, much later. Let's talk a little bit about this unified field vortex. You know, why is this medium so powerful?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One is that since we've been living in a polarized hologram, we've gotten separated from our own soul presence. And so when I would work with people, I began to peer into their energy field, and I would see that their soul was not inside their body. So most people, that's the case. The soul is outside, usually hanging up in the mind or down around the aura, but it's not able to get into the core of the body and fuel us with that kundalini life force. And so when I began to realize this was what was happening, I started studying and observing and realizing, well, what's popping the soul out? And it's this polarized opposition that we have all, you know, in the Earth's geomagnetic field of light and dark and positive and negative and masculine and feminine. These forces are all opposing each other. And so it creates this schism or split right up the center of our body, and it's pushing the soul presence out of us. And so we've been living in this state of separation and depletion and malnourishment from our spiritual energy, all these incarnations for thousands of years. And so one of the things that the vortex does, if you know about tornado energy, inside the tornado is a vacuum, so it's still and it's non-polarized. So the first thing that I benefited from when opening this up around, you know, it starts up my feet and I open it up around my body and my aura, is it starts to create a non-polarized state inside me and a vacuum still point, so that, one, I can begin to integrate the four bodies, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, into union where they've been all split. And then, two, because I'm using the vacuum pull, I'm able to pull that soul presence deep into the core chakras and start to really use that to power me up and get more of my soul knowing and soul understanding and soul abilities now active and alive in me. And so the vortex does this, and that is just one of the few things that it does. But what it's doing is it's helping us get back into the rhythm, connecting back into the rhythm of our universe, which is it's a galactic core black hole. So we live in, you know, curvature space-time. We live in a spinning vortex. And so it's actually retraining the body intelligence to live in a vortex energy, to live in the rhythm of our universe, and so that we can start to move from living in polarity and return back into living in singularity, which is really the pulse of creation in our galactic center. Now, there's lots of other things that we use it for. We use it to pull out really discordant systems. So the vacuum spins in, pulls the soul in, but you can also use the momentum of the vortex to spin out what isn't your own consciousness or what is, you know, may have come in through the family of origin or through religions or through any kind of hybridized coding with the Anunnaki race. We've got all kinds of stuff in here that's not ours, and it's locking us down and controlling us, and so we use the vortex spin as well to pull all of these systems out so that you're really going to be now just this living, divine human.
Wow. Boy, you threw out a lot of codes at once there. I is just sitting right on the edge of their chair with this one.
This is why it's a very accelerated pace for ascension, because you can, you know, what used to take years or lifetimes to go through one karmic issue, right? Now we can just go through it very quickly and pull it out of the entire system.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of got this saying, friends of mine that know I do this. I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because 6, 7, 8, you're too late. And I say, everything can be done in that time element.
It's true.
Yeah, it's like, you know, once you get the consciousness and the energy's going, you just zap it, you spin, and you walk away, and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I kind of have a feeling that that's what you do.
Yeah, and what we found, too, and I've trained other healers in using this, and what we found is when you can get into that still point of singularity inside the heart and solar plexus chakras right there at the core, it actually automatically, just organically, starts to repel out of you what is discordant. So it's very intelligent, and it automatically starts to work on cleaning you out.
So what you're dealing with really first is natural state, because if you go to your natural state in alignment, then you'll throw everything else out that doesn't belong with that natural state. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. And it's a frequency, yes.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay, well... So, well, what is your understanding of the ascension process? What is, you know, what can you give us in a way of, a lot of people maybe don't know what the ascension process is. Can you give us a little definition first and then go into it deeper?
Okay. My experience of it is in raising our vibration up to match the soul vibration, and the way we do that is we use our own kundalini, which is our spiritual energy. It's actually electrical current, and we use it from the base root chakra to start to open up the chakras as we move up. We have 12 chakras, 12 dimensions of our universe. Each one is very important and has to be healed and cleared and increased in vibration. And so, to me, ascending up, we're ascending up in vibration, so we're creating this vessel where the soul can come in and merge 100% with the human self. And at that point then, you have raised your vibration to such a high octave that the crystalline light of the divine Godhead can enter into the subatomic particles in your cells and start to transform them from carbon-based to silica-based. And you really start to then feed and live and nourish and fuel yourself on crystalline light energy.
Wow. What can someone expect to occur while working in this spin of the vortex?
Well, they should start to feel more integration, just like in a chemistry class, you'd use the centrifuge. So if you're spinning inside it, it blends you into more union. So this is where we want to start to integrate all the different levels and chakra centers. And so you should start to actually feel more whole and contained and integrated. And then also, as you continue to release these lower, denser vibrational systems, you begin to feel lighter, your emotions lighten up, your thoughts lighten up, your body gets lighter in a sense that you aren't feeling so oppressed. And as you, so this is it's a process, so you're continuing to clean out and clear out shadow and discordant energies, you get higher and higher frequency as your norm, then you are really opening up. I almost see it like a tree image, right? You're branching up, 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 and outwards with your tree branches into these higher 12 dimensions so that you're able to access higher knowing of the soul and higher understanding. And at this point, then, it's called soul retrieval, where we really start to pull into us all aspects, all timelines, all incarnations of the soul. And so you have all of your knowing and abilities now, here, in this time, for the remainder of your time here. So,
yeah, I call that going back and pulling forth your masterships and saying, I need to use them now. That's what I tell my clients.
Because why else are we here but to be able to bring that here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you have a clinic where a lot of people are working? Do you teach a lot of other instructors? Are there a lot of groups that do this where you are? You're in California, right?
Yeah, well, I'm in Los Angeles. We have a small little healing center in Los Angeles. I used to do it in the earlier years in person. I now do all my work on the phone remotely because more and more people were coming from other areas than not in Los Angeles. And then I have trained some healers, but this is it's pretty advanced work for them to be able to apply it to others. So first they have to go through their own healing, and that takes some time. So there's a handful of healers who can do it, but I would love more to step in and start to utilize it. And what's one of the beauties about it is it's not where you're taking someone else's system, like Reiki, into your own bioenergetics. It's where you're just activating the vortex template around your own system, so it's to enhance what you're already coded, what your blueprint is already set. So it's a universal template, and so you can. I work with a lot of people who aren't healers; that they are using it in their own lives. And so for me, it's really about becoming, you know, your own shaman and doing your own healing. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, in our work, we have, you know, I don't know whether you had time to read Discovery of Star Markings, but we have a way of tapping into a person's astrological chart and helping them figure out what is their masterships, what's their natural state, their rites of passage, and why they're here. And then we have kind of a DNA activation that happens when we have sessions with them, and that gets them started. And it sounds like to me that a lot of our listeners that have had sessions with me would really probably enhance their own masterships by having maybe a session with you. It sounds like you're the next step after what we do. So that's pretty exciting, very exciting.
That's an option.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you think this ascension process is leading up to, this pivotal year of 2012? And by the way, that Galactic Center is at 26 Sag, that starseed code, on December 20th, 2012. And we are really seeing a lot of activations happening with those dates coming up. They just, not only the Mayan calendar, but more and more people that are calling for sessions seem to have these markings. And so 2012 is really climbing the ladder for a date, and I feel like it's a time of maybe one experiment will maybe end at that time, but new ones will be starting. That's my understanding about some of the Pleiadian bloodline experiments on the planet. So do you have any information about 2012 that you would like to share with us?
Sure. What I've been shown in the past 15 years in communicating with this, the soul aspect in the Syrian Council, is that we're, in a sense, coming here from the future to shift what has been this very locked-down condition in the human DNA and in the human mind. And so we're, in a sense, had to come in. This is why I've never incarnated into the incarnational cycle. I just step in as a visitor. So that we can embody into the human biology, the human DNA, and the human mind, and shift it from the inside out, because I feel there's been other attempts to do it remotely and it wasn't working. So what it feels like is this ascension plan that's in place right now for 2012 is, and it has actually had some problems, and so in a sense it's very organic and being rewritten if needed as we go, because there is such extreme counterforce trying to stop it. So what I have found, even in this last week with the eclipse on June 15th, it was aligned with the galactic core, and my Syrian soul was able to guide certain, we did a group activation with that ascension wave. So basically this pulse of singularity is coming out of the galactic center, and it's pulsing towards Earth. And what we were finding is that it wasn't able to come into Earth's geomagnetic sphere because of this lockdown. I almost see it like a dome around the Earth that's locking out a lot of the assistance. And so we opened up stargates that were allowing now this ascension wave to enter into Earth's geomagnetic field, as well as into the collective field of mind and humanity. And it's a pulse ascension wave of unity consciousness. So it's here to actually start to activate the DNA codes of the starseeds, and so that they will be able to ascend all 12 chakras, get everything opened up, get the soul in, be able to even, you know, exponentially advance the work they're here to do. And this Friday, we have another eclipse that's lined up with Sirius. And so, again, there's a lot of assistance from Sirius and the Council to keep these stargates open so the ascension waves can come in. And this then is going to shift where the human mind of the masses are really locked and controlled into this destructive competition where we're destroying each other and the planet and nature, and start to shift it from seeing everyone as an enemy, start to see that we have to collaborate and we have to help take care of each other if we're going to survive here. So that's, I feel, one of the first major shifts that has to occur in human consciousness, human awareness. And this will then, and I think it's already happening in that we are starting to see how destructive this kind of rampant consumerism and unregulated capitalism has destroyed the, you know, the middle class. It's destroyed our resources, it's destroyed Mother Nature. So this, I feel a backlash is coming. I also feel that there's another second dip in the economy coming this summer. So there's these things that are collapsing, that are systems that will no longer be tolerated because of this ascension wave that's coming in of unity consciousness. So anything that is of egoic acquisition, you know, this kind of thing, materialism and acquisition, is going to be affected by the frequency of this ascension wave. And so we'll see more and more collapsing systems that really can't survive this and shouldn't because they are so discordant and so destructive. And it's opening up the space for us to now collaborate and form these communities. And as the starseeds awaken, they'll be able to really build new systems. That's why we're calling it the New Earth, you know, build these new systems of from the community of oneness to actually rebuild this world. So that's how I see it through 2012. So I feel the collapsing is going to continue into next year. I feel only the first wavers are awakening. We need second and third and fourth and fifth wavers of the masses to awaken, and that will happen through next year, so that by the time we do have that event at the end of 2012, it's the opening, in a sense, for us to now put it into effect and start the new world.
Yes, I agree. I was looking at your website, and I was very, very fascinated with some of the things that I was seeing on there, especially the Zep Tepe.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that is, the ancient mystery, yeah. Egyptian mystery school information.
Okay, I was starting to get pulled to Egypt in some of the past life regressions I was doing with my Syrian soul, and I finally began to see that this aspect of my soul was one of the Syrian visitors that helped build Egypt in the time of the pyramids, and they used vortex energy actually to shift the gravitational fields to build those pyramids, and the pyramids are built on crystal caves, so it's a crystalline-based template, this vortex, and how it's being used through toning in the crystals. And so as I would do these regressions and I would start to visit there, it's a glorious civilization, and it's really, truly where I saw the original divine human blueprint alive. It looked a little different than we do now, but they were more of what I would call light beings, in a sense that their bodies were morphing in reaction or response to their creative ideas and feelings, and so we weren't hard locked into such dense bodies. We were more of these fluid bodies that were beautifully fueled by light, but very much in union with the mind and the heart. And then as I started going through time, the environment changed, and that's when I started to see this addition of the Anunnaki race, the reptilian race, and this is when I started to see the fall of man and the devolution of the human DNA and the abilities of the humans. And so this is kind of the history that we're dealing with right now. So I have past life understanding of what it used to be like before the fall and the corruption of the DNA. And I also saw that those of us who were teaching these mystery schools and how to use this alchemical vortex energy is we had to seal the power of that alchemy interdimensionally. We sealed it in the pyramid of Giza, and so that it was protected and hidden until it was safe for it to come out again. And so that's kind of what, that was my history of involvement. And then about 2 years ago, I was invited, someone called me from my newsletter, and she was in Tucson, Arizona, and they had, her and her husband had built a six-story galactic light collector in the middle of the desert and wanted me to come out and soak up Sirian light because it was like the last week they were going to get it that year. So I booked a flight, flew out there, stayed with them, and for two nights just soaked up the Sirian indigo blue light. It was reflecting off the panels, and across the panels were sacred geometry and symbols flowing in the light, and then it spelled across this entire galactic thing. It's just huge. It spelled love across in the light, in the indigo light, and I realized they're communicating with us, and I just didn't quite know what it all would mean yet, so I just breathed it in and soaked it in and came home, and within weeks, I was up in the middle of the night just channeling all of this information, and it was this Zeptepi information that's been stored in the Pyramid in Giza. And so we're slowly bringing this out into the world again in a way that's safe and to those who are of a frequency that they can handle it and they can work with it. And so we've had, since that time, two activations so far. I have no idea how many are going to come through till 2012, but there's more coming. And it's really how we can become that, you know, morphing divine human again. That's really what we're heading back towards.
Was this in Tucson, this light collector?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, I have a friend that's connected to that. Yeah. Wow,
yeah.
Okay. Well, let me see, where we want to go next with this. I tell you what, we have our co-hosts, Sierra and Ariel, are on the line, and I'm going to open it up and see if they have anything that they would like to ask you.
Okay.
Ariel, you take it.
Okay. Meg, this is just incredibly fascinating, and it's just resonating so much with me. I just completely get what you're saying, and how this is working, because you're explaining it from a quantum physics. It's not just a belief that it is. I mean,
no.
You actually understand how this is working and what it does, and you really described it so well that I feel like I have a pretty good idea. One thing I wanted to ask when you were talking about, getting this vortex going in the body and it throws out outdated systems and programs and things that are not indigenous to the soul itself.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get this vortex integrated and you get your soul back into the core, as it continues to exist, does it continue to repel?
Yes.
Non-aligned programs.
Yes, and by using the vortex meditation regularly, I did it. I've been doing it daily for 17 years or whatever. You know, it's by doing this daily, it actually integrates with your own electromagnetic field and becomes a part of it. And so I could be doing some mundane task, like sitting on the freeway, you know, and all of a sudden I'll feel like, whoop, and it just spun out something. So, yes, it's so intelligent. It aligns with your soul truth, your soul frequency. It responds to your commands, and it will begin to, in a sense, kind of protect you even when you're busy doing something else. So by working with this, really, truly, I see this as us now integrating back into the quantum field of our universe, right? We're going back into living in that vortex energy that actually NASA in May finally confirmed there's a vortex around Earth, because they've got this galactic probe satellite that is able to prove it finally. So I think what it is we're now just getting clued into, hey, we should be having this be our natural rhythm as opposed to this kind of linear thinking and how we our ego wants to live. That's actually not how time-space works. So it's getting back into this natural rhythm, having that vortex spin around you all the time. And, of course, it takes some practice because you could have vertigo, right? You need to get really comfortable rooting onto the grids and holding that momentum, and it will continue to clean you out and also contain you. You have to kind of think about it like a shield around your auric boundary there, right? It's like a shield, like a ball of light around your auric boundary, so that it's also containing your light in, and it's protecting you from lower vibrations outside. So yes, it will integrate with you and become a part of you.
And that's great, because I've just had a couple of people that had asked me about using crystals for protection, and I was like, they don't work like that. Yeah, they're crystals are not a shield.
No.
They're an amplifier.
That won't work.
But this would be where they need to head. You know, especially there's a lot of people that maybe they're newly awakened, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of new thoughts and ideas and things like that. But when you start to open up, then you're also until you get your discernment level and your alignment and all that, you're also more vulnerable to programming and mind control and things like that. Because once your light starts to rise and your frequency starts to rise, you're a little bit more juicy target than maybe
right.
you were before.
Well,
so
and I had that problem as well. They don't teach us how to protect ourselves. We don't, at least in the United States, this isn't something they teach at school, how to protect
right.
ourselves.
Right.
I wish they had, because I was wide open, and I was a sitting duck, and so I had a lot of entity attacks and people coming to me out of the woodwork, and glomming onto my power and so it took a lot of trial and error of learning how to discern vibration, but until you can get really good at discerning vibration and intention from others, the agenda of others, I would use this as because it is moving, right? It's spinning, so it's not like someone can just hook right into you, right? Because you're now protecting yourself with this velocity of energy, and it's of light energy, right? It's of our galactic core. It's pure light energy. And you're using this now to spin away that polarized energy, that opposition energy. So it saved my life, because I was getting very sick from all of the entity attachments and attacks. It was pretty gnarly.
Right. Well, like I said, when you the brighter your light gets, the more desirable you are
mm-hmm.
to be. What is the word?
Fed on.
Possessed. Yeah,
yeah.
Fed on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about transmutation? Let's say non-aligned energies or darker, lower energies, when they come and they bounce off your shield, do they get transmuted, or do they just go away?
That's a good question. The majority of my experience is that it will repel them, so they will go away. It will repel them. The transmutation has to be in a resonant field. So it could be that you are approached by someone that's in human form that could be very oppressed or depressed and have a heavy shadow consciousness. But their intent could be that they do want to heal and they do want to ascend, and so they may be more in a resonance with you, that you could start to then positively help them transmutate that energy. But if they're coming at you with an intention to feed on you or possess you, at that point, this system will repel them. Yeah.
That's great. Sign me up.
And I found, too, once I was – and it goes both ways, too, Ariel, because I had to find in my own system where I was going outside myself to feed on external energies, and every time I would do that, I would open my auric shields, and they'd come right in. So I had to learn my – I had to transmute my own behavior where, that's only fair, that – I can't go and feed on others and then expect others not to feed on me. So I had to do, a lot of investigation and watch myself I was born into a codependent family system, so I was trained to be codependent. So I had to watch where that was still running in me, and it was very automatic, and so I had to catch it. and use a vortex, you know, to spin it out and just say that's not my intent. I don't want to live that way. And so as I got real clean with my own behavior, that also helped eliminate the attacks. Because it's a mirroring, right? So the more that I could really hold my own and just contain my own and really become very self-sustaining. And so it's using the vortex vacuum to pull in this flow of divine light from our Godhead in the galactic center so that I don't have to go outside myself for anything. I'm full inside. I'm filled. So this is this, again, is part of this ascension process where we become the embodiment of the Divine Mother Father. We really are self-supporting, self-sustaining. We become sovereign beings, and we are out of that feeding frenzy of the codependent system.
Now, what happens when you are in, you have the vortex going, and you are, you know, unified within your own energy?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you then pick up a crystal?
The crystal will actually help build the force field in and around you. So it will amplify whatever is your core frequency. So yeah, it will start to amplify the soul's light frequency stronger. And what I find, you'll get to such a place that you will just be breathing in crystalline particles, because you're going to just pull this straight from the Godhead. You're going to pull it right from the galactic core. So it's just a whole stream of crystalline particles coming right into your cells, and this is how we then start to become a human antenna and a human crystal, and it really begins to amplify.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that just gave me chills. A human crystal.
Yeah.
What a concept.
And you just, people can feel me coming from, you know, hallways down. You're just amplifying it. And so what I find is, because I'm using the vortex all the time, I'm able to hold a real calm, neutral point inside my center, just like a fulcrum, you know, the neutral point. And we call it the still point. So I'm able to hold that still point, which is how the zero point field exists in the galactic core. We create that inside us. So we could have chaos going around us and still hold that neutral still point inside. And so the polarized world doesn't get in anymore, because we're living in a different octave and a different resonant field, a different harmonic, basically, than what's happening in the chaotic world around us. And that's the goal.
This is Sierra. I'd love to jump in at this point if I could.
Sure,
I was about to ask you to.
Okay. Especially since we're getting on to the crystal topic here and that you're running in my playing field now.
Okay.
Just to introduce myself, I'm Sierra, one of the co-hosts here, and I have actually been a walk-in for the last several years in this body, in this incarnation. And the information that I have been streaming through from the Pleiades Council, the Galactic Federation, from the Pleiades side of the Council, it's very interesting how I can see bits and pieces of all the different information that's being streamed, all the different participants that are here, the first wave, the second wave, the third,
mm-hmm.
fourth wave,
mm-hmm.
and the information, the different pieces of information that's actually been given to each sector and each one of those waves. And it's interesting. It just is absolutely thrilling to hear how you've mastered this and how you're here doing your mission, and this is information that you have, because there's building blocks of information that's coming out right now.
Right.
And going into the crystalline, when you're talking about the crystalline structure, you're talking about a very specific tool that you're providing for people, which is this, basically this vortex that you surround yourself with.
Yes.
And then you ground that down into, and you'd mentioned it earlier when you were speaking, into the crystalline grid that is here on Gaia on planet Earth.
Yep.
That opens it up. You're not doing it yourself anymore. You're now connected to all the other light workers that are here that have the sacred geometry, the sacred science, so that they are then tapped into the same grid. And
that's
so
right.
Now it's not just you trying to sustain that. Once you've mastered it enough, you join your brothers and sisters here on Earth to amp up the energy. And Arielle, you were talking about just a second ago about crystalline and about crystals and we becoming more and more of crystalline beings. And the why crystal, why that particular element here on Earth, especially and all over the galaxy, is that it emits, it amplifies light. And so the light beings that we're growing to be, we need more of that, especially in these third dimension dense bodies. And as we become more and more, and we're more and more crystalline, it's more and more light, it's more and more energy, it's more and more of the vortex power, it's more and more of the black hole energy, we're bringing that and grounding that down, not only for ourselves so that we can then be responsible for waking up however many hundreds of thousands of people are responsible to, you know, trigger the next wave, but it is also what we're doing right now when we're waking ourselves up to this point. We are grounding into Gaia, tapping into the crystal grid lines, and we are going to then amp each other up. That's the next step to the activation of the next wave.
And I just wanted to... Thank you for that, because I can confirm what you mentioned about each starseed bringing in their piece. I get lots of different questions, and I can feel where my soul goes, nope, that's not our thing. Nope, that's not our thing. You know, so it's like my soul's like really very focused on just this. This is my piece. And then the rest of it, I just say there's experts out there. That's their piece. So I totally can confirm on that. I have no wiggle room. Like it's just locked right onto this piece. And then, yes, I was probably about 2005 is when I started getting guided to start to holographically build the crystalline grid in the Earth's surface. And so that was one of my pieces was, and I know there are other souls doing it as well, so that we could get this system embedded in and come alive. And then, as you said, I didn't have to be the one who was activating this template under people's feet all the time, that now they could do it themselves on the crystal grids. It's been awesome ever since that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that was hard. That was a lot of work. And so now,
and that's what we're here to,
That crystalline power is what's shifting the gravitational fields to unlock these really dense magnetic fields that are locked around ourselves. And so it's weakening and thinning and opening and unlocking these magnetic fields so that the crystalline particles can get into the nucleus of the cells. And what I see when I go in deeper and deeper into the cells is that every cell is a spinning black hole as well. So as we get the vortex up around the body, we really start to activate this alchemy into the each subatomic particle of our cells, and this is then when we can start to activate the 12-strand DNA and begin to really move more into morphing into the crystalline human. But boy, these magnetic fields were very locked down, very dense, and that's part of what the crystalline grid is helping, as you said, through the amplification of the light to thin it and weaken it, and so that we can start to transform our bodies.
Absolutely, and as each one of us are doing that and doing so, because I believe there's also some workers out here just automatically doing that and then bringing their piece of information to the building block.
Yes.
And the ultimate goal is that we ultimately remember who we are and what we can do and where we're going to and what we're waking up, in a sense.
Okay.
And then we, you know, it's so exciting when you start talking about that we as a people actually start to physically shift. We become more of something. We become... You know, and I actually saw the direction I'm moving in, and what it is I'm going to be playing with is the actual crystalline structure itself. I can manipulate and grow crystal.
Oh,
I remember how to do that, and it's through tone and energy and light. And so it's just, I get really excited when you start to talk about that, because imagine a world full of ultimate being that they are and what they have to contribute to these sacred elements. I mean,
yeah.
It's just mind-boggling, actually. But it's the next evolution. It's the next dimension. It's the next shift. It's the next awakening.
Well, and we couldn't do it without this unity consciousness and coming together as a community. It was going to fail. We had to, not one person can do this. We have to come together as a collective to do this.
Absolutely, because it takes our energy and our coming together as a collectiveness to actually have the wave. You know, a wave is the first, second, third, fourth. Well, it doesn't just go stop. It actually gathers momentum. And as it gathers momentum, it's reaching more people and it's activating more people. And as and like you said, the first shift is away from this dichotomy we have, the good versus the evil, the light and the dark, all of that. That's the very first shift.
We use the harmonic tones. When we get the vortex up and running, then we start to run the harmonic tones, the 12-dimensional tones. As you mentioned, toning, it's the frequency of pi, which is of divine order, of balance and proportion, and it really starts to create this coherent field of order inside us when we've been in actually this disorder and separation. So we do use the toning once the vortex is up and running, and then the toning up, as you mentioned, then can go into the crystal base grid work as well, and then tone all around the planet and then the collective field. So I can't see how this isn't going to work. This is already happening.
It's happening now, and it's very, very exciting being tapped into it and watching it as it grows.
It is. It's really exciting. And to me, since I've been doing it almost 20 years now, it's like feeling like, oh, finally we get to reap the rewards of what that hard work's been. It's very, very rewarding.
Sure is. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, we have already some questions coming from the chat room.
Okay.
So I'm going to check in now.
Hello.
Hello, Purple Sage.
Hello.
Hey, and hi to everybody in the chat room.
Everybody in the chat room is buzzing, and they are saying this so resonates with them. And the energy must be really, really high because my computer just crashed and my phone's been going kind of wacky. So hopefully you can hear me right now.
Yes.
I can't see the chat room. I have to go by memory. The first question, I believe, was how long does it usually take one to learn the process of
that's a good
raising.
Question. Yeah, because it's kind of individual. Also, it's happening faster now than when I started. It was very slow when I started in the 90s because everything was so dense. And so it would take me, I would meditate for weekends, you know, I'd just lose weekends to try to get this thing up and running and be able to pull out just one little system. Now you can pull a whole strand of past live systems out. So it's very accelerated now, thank God, to the ascension waves. It's helping us move through this faster. And because of the resonant field that we're building here with the crystalline grids around the planet, what I would say, several things that will determine how fast you'll take to it is, one, can you already feel the flow of energy through the body? That means then you have already started to open up the channels and you started to get some of that soul energy in, because the soul is electrical current, so you should feel it tingle. You should feel it flow up and down through your body in meditation. So if you are able to do that, that means then your system is already starting to open and it should begin to take to it pretty quickly. If you are having trouble feeling the flow of energy, then that means probably the soul is outside in the aura or up in the mind, and it means there's going to need some work where you're working on the ego still controlling your biology. The key is to get the ego to back off and allow the soul to start to be the fuel source of the biology. And, of course, the ego is going to fight this because the ego wants to control. And so I describe this in my book as the different stages you have to go through to really get this whole thing up and running. That time when you're dealing with the resistance of the ego is challenging, because it really is like a battle for who's going to run the show here, you know, who's going to run the life. But what I found is when you can use your mind, if you can actually visualize in your mind, you'll pick it up quicker as well, because, boy, our holographic mind is very powerful, and when we can picture an image, the biology already starts to respond to it. So if you can picture the vortex spinning around you and you can picture that you're moving these systems out of you, then your body will start to respond that way. So there's certain things that need to be in place to pick this up quickly, and if you are just starting an awakening and just, you know, learning how to meditate, then be patient with yourself, because you're going to have to deal with the controlling ego wanting to kind of own the core pillar and not let the soul in. That's really what's happening. And what I found in going through this process is helping my ego mind, my ego identity, to feel safe with my soul energy, to trust it. And so I would ask for proof. You know, I built a good body of proof, evidence, where whenever I would listen and follow my soul, everything went great. So soon, over time, with enough evidence, my human ego self started to listen more and follow the wisdom of the soul. And so this is the battle between the ego will and the spiritual will, the soul will. And it eventually, as that shifts into a trust and an alignment and a connection with the soul's wisdom, then things will pick up very quickly. It's really our own self that's in our way. it's this controlling ego part of us.
Right.
So it could happen within months. It's going to happen within the next year and a half if you apply yourself to it, because there's so much assistance now helping us.
Yeah, and that's really great information. And it's also good for people who have been working on themselves for quite a while, because we all need to remember to drop the ego thing and everything.
Yeah.
Another question, one of our chat room guests, she had, trying to remember this because I'm still not on the computer, she had contact, I guess, with a vortex, and she saw the letters spell out love. And she was describing them to me, but she wants to know if when you saw it, did it look kind of like the love that you saw in the 60s, the word love?
It did, actually.
I guess kind of psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
It did, and it feels, now, because I'm incarnated in Sirius, that it's an indigo light color is their frequency, and so it just feels like love coming in. Granted, the crystalline light of the Godhead is pure love, and so she may have also been just opening with the vortex to that divine presence, you know, the divine love. Or to me, when I go up the different chakras, up the core pillar, I get all the way up to the 12th chakra. So you have the 7 in the body and then the 5 above the crown, and you go all the way up to the 12th chakra, the energy center there, and that's where I connect to the higher self, our avatar soul self. This is where I feel is truly our kind of our gatekeeper in our aura. And then you go beyond that into the Godhead energy, which is 13th to 15th dimension. And so I daily feed down my core pillar, this God energy, this crystalline light, the love light, and it's like fuel to a car. I need it like a meal. And this is how I source myself. And so she may have tapped into some of that within the vortex, pulling that into her, because that's really what it's trying to do, is feed
Excellent.
Us.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I'm not surprised that she saw that.
Yeah.
And then somebody else had a comment, and it's about when you raise your vibration. It's very hard to not stand out, because you're more visible, it seems, to others out there. And she just wanted to make that comment because it had happened to her, and this is another caller or another guest. It happened to her when she got her awakening, and her vibration began to raise.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, she said people were just drawn to her, and she mentioned Gandhi, who tried but could not be kind of invisible because his vibration was so high, he was so visible.
Well, I've read also too, like the Dalai Lama, you can feel him like 2 blocks away. So it is because when you think about it, this is light, so it's an electrical current, and our body is running this current through our channels, sort of the pathways, and into the energy centers, and so you are going to be, you're just like a light bulb, you're going to be giving off these rays.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk about our power, our soul power, to me, I just see it as light, as our power. You know, it's just like powering up a light bulb or a lamp. It's our power. Now, what I found, though, is you see, light consciousness is intelligence. So you can actually code it. You can intend. So you can command what you want in that light consciousness. And so what I do is, as I power up with my electrical current of the soul, it's to always hold a resonant field with everyone. So those who are not at the same octave of resonance, don't, I'm invisible to them. So I can walk right past them. They don't even look up. Those who are really in this more higher octave will, they'll look up before I'm even near them. So they, it's a, or I notice, like, if I'll be outside, maybe at, you know, at the grocery market or whatever, those who are at a resonant octave will look up and they will smile before we've even communicated. So they will feel the frequency first. It's a, you know, you just sense it first before you actually can see it. And so you can intend that you are not engaging with those who are very polarized, you know. So I hold that intent. I will not engage with the world of polarity. I will have nothing to do with it. And so I stay out of that battle. And I hold that in my light consciousness, and so that I only am communicating and connecting to those souls who are at a resonant frequency.
Yeah, I understand that. That leads me to a question, though, on people who are raising their vibration and they don't want to deal with the dark energies or the negative energies, and so they totally bypass them. And I have to say, I'm one of those as well. But there are people out there who are saying light workers shouldn't be doing that. It's up to us to help, you know, just from us being, it's up to us to help others raise their vibration. What do you think about that?
That's a great question. I've gone through kind of an evolution with this whole topic. When I first started out and was working with clients and myself, I was of the mindset that as long as I don't give my attention or power to the shadow, then it just won't exist. Well, I had to learn that's not the case. So I had, you know, a little kick in the pants there and had to actually acknowledge, hey, I have my own shadow. So everyone who has incarnated into a polarized world, we're equal balance of light and dark. We have shadow and we have this beautiful light. And so when we go into denial of that, we just suppress it. But it's still there, and it's still operating, and people are reacting to it, but we are in denial of it, so it's a really kind of a mess here. So what I had to learn this myself, and I see this in a lot of light workers, is that the more that we can actually go, oh, okay, I'm living in a polarized world, so this is of a half and half, right? You know, it's shadow and light that keeps this world moving, so I must have some in myself, and so that's when I really dug inside and did what I call our internal house cleaning, you know, and I went in and I used the vortex and I used the divine crystalline light to kind of flush up and out to the surface here so I could be aware of it. Where is my own inner shadow? Because I want to heal it and I want to resolve it and I want to transmute it and I just want to keep raising my vibration. So this is a part of the ascension process that's very personal, and you can do this in your own, you know, private meditation or in sessions with healers, where you just kind of make a decision, and this is the key. Everyone has to make the decision that they're going to own that they have shadow, and they're going to take the steps to transmute it, to heal it, and it all can be done, and all can be removed because I've been able to pull the polarity out of me, so it all can be done. And this, what I noticed too, is the more that I cleaned out and neutralized shadow within my system, I was not attracting it to me. So the more that you get into just a flooding light through your system and you've transmuted your own shadow, this actually will cease to be an issue. You won't even have to worry about it. You won't have to worry about shields. You won't have to, because you have now transformed your own bioenergetics into pure light. So, but this takes some work, and people maybe, you know, don't want to put the work in. So when you have this notion that the light workers are going to help transmute shadow in other souls and other beings who aren't wanting to do their own healing, you know, they're not putting any attention to it, I don't feel that's true. I feel that we can shift the global collective field and make it into unity consciousness, but I feel that every soul that's incarnated right now on the planet, each one has free will, and each one has to make a decision, a choice, that they will in their heart of hearts, really have an alliance with the light. Because if they don't, there's not so much that we can do to shift them. You know what I mean? Like, if they are really in an alliance with the dark, I, one, need to respect that. That's their decision. And two, they're so invested in that that there's not a whole lot that I'm going to be able to do to influence that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And as for, say, as for somebody who has a higher vibration, not even wanting to associate, I guess that's okay.
If you
feel like you don't want to associate with somebody's energy.
Yes, that's a very
okay.
good question. I had to go through this myself as well. As I continue to ascend my vibration, I lost so many people in my life because they would get angry. You know, they would retaliate. All the reactions were actually really hurtful. As I continue to raise my vibration, they don't want us to raise our vibration, or they don't want us to cut them off from feeding on our vibration. So it was challenging. I know the listeners know what I'm talking about. It's like when you just have to, you know, one by one, set up healthy boundaries, and they will shift with you or they won't. And if they won't, then you have to get distance. I actually had to disengage and disconnect and stop all contact even with the family that I walked into. So I have no family on this planet, and I had to start to form a new family, a spiritual family, with those who were able to respect boundaries, and they were on path, and they were working just as hard as I would, and so you could feel that they were of heart center, and they were safe to connect to and to form intimacy with. And so it's been, you know, I've been at this for 17 years, so it's been, you know, a long, slow process of weeding out. And also, I had to go into isolation myself as I worked on my own shadow. So I spent quite a few years just feeling like I was in the void and just really kind of an isolated life because of the work, the deep internal work I was doing on myself, the work I was doing on the Earth's grids. You know, so there was just, for 17 years, this is all I've done really, other than, you know, making, you know, a living to pay for all this. You know, I did not get married. I did not have children. Like, this took over. When I was my Kundalini activation, this was it. This is all I've been focused on since 94. So it's been challenging to not live in the human life plan, you know, not to live as we are programmed to live and to be kind of living out of sync with that. But I think more and more people are beginning to realize that they don't have to live in that program. They can live in a way that's unique to their soul. And they can say to family members or spouses or children, you know, they can set these boundaries if they need to. Because what I kept hearing when I didn't from my higher self was, why are you letting them drag your vibration down? It will stop your ascension. So I realized I really had to do it.
Oh, well, those are very wise words.
Not easy to do.
And I think so many of us are saying, hey, she's talking about me. But I thank you for your loving wisdom.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, Purple Sage. We will check back with the chat room in a little while. We do have other callers waiting with questions. So,
I would like to apologize to the chat room. I'm working on trying to get back there, but I haven't been back there since this whole conversation. So I'm working on it.
Well, and don't feel bad, because what I found when I work with people in this forum, the vortex does send some ripples into the electromagnetic fields of the electronics. So it may have crashed your computer.
Yeah.
I apologize.
We have experienced that on more than one occasion. So, okay, people in the chat room, Purple Sage is going to be beating that computer into submission so she can get back online. Okay, and we will check back with you. Thank you so much,
okay.
Purple Sage.
Yep. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We are going to get to some callers now. Let's see. Okay, we are going to next be speaking to Kaylee.
Hello to Kaylee. You're on the air.
Hello. Aloha, Ariel and Lavender and everyone. Thank you for this beautiful topic. It's just incredible information, Meg. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you. As you were speaking, it occurred to me, and Lavender might like to comment, when she does her sessions, she creates a vortex around the person and gathers information that way. So perhaps this could be an information gathering tool in a way as well, but I was receiving this concept of having a huge vortex created around a large group of people, say at some kind of healing event or spiritually focused event, to allow whatever needs to leave from people that they've been having trouble letting go of by themselves to just be released. And that really fills me with a lot of joy at that possibility.
Yeah. Well, okay, yes. The first comment you made about information gathering, absolutely. What it's doing is it's creating a sacred field around all 12 levels, all 12 dimensions of your auric field. So what it does is it opens us up to be able to access these higher dimensional, like I call it the book of knowledge, basically. And it's allowed me in to read people's Akashic records when we're doing sessions and also to read my own. And this way then, not only is, and we enter into, you know, the sacred book of knowledge or Akashic records through our soul frequency. I tell people it's like a library card, and you swipe your library card. It's your frequency, and based on your soul's history, and your frequency, you can perhaps access into this divine living library of the Akashic records. What I found in doing that then is this is how I'm able to then go into past lives and future potential. And so the vortex also works like a time machine in the sense that I lock my thought onto space-time coordinate and it takes me to it. I spin into it and I'm able to drop into these other timelines and start to get what the scene is. I start to empath all the emotions and what's happening. And so we can drop into these very potent, wounded aspects of these past lives and go in and shift the energy and change the outcome, and it resolves itself and it's completed and the karma is erased. So it's a very powerful tool for healing and for learning more about who this incarnation history of your soul. And then as far as group work, I've been working with groups for several years. I actually have a membership through my website. We call it the Evolutionary Leaders. And every other week, we get together in a teleclass webcast format, and I take them into the vortex with me, and we're working in real-time current events, and this is how we've done a lot of work on creating this New Earth grid work and stuff. So if that's something you're drawn to, that would be through the website. There's a membership that we do live work with. And then I've also done really big teleclasses, several hundred people coming in from all around the world, and we're able to anchor, our light in these different places around the planet and build this network and build the unity consciousness. So it is very powerful. This is what we're heading towards.
It's fabulous. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks to Kaylee. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next we are going to hear, I think Kaylee was in Australia or Hawaii. Well, I think she was in Hawaii this time. And now we're going to the Northwest with our friend Max. Hello, Max, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. hello, everybody, and hello, Mac.
Hi, Max.
I had a question. It's a little technical, but I wanted to know about the spinning direction of the vortex.
Oh, very good question.
If you go counterclockwise or clockwise, because for me, as a I consider myself an indigo kind of first waver.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, it's better to go counterclockwise.
Okay, so that is actually how it was guided to me as well by the steering council, is to always spin counterclockwise for several reasons. One is that it is the natural movement of light in our universe is a counterclockwise oscillating spin. And then two, we want to spin outside of the constraints of 3D time. And so I know there's a lot of other stuff out there, but I have found that by opening it at my feet, counterclockwise, right to left, all the way up to the higher self, up at the 12th dimension, 12th chakra, then what I do is I continue to keep it spinning counterclockwise, but then I use my mind's command to direct, is it spinning in or spinning out? And so I don't have to reverse the direction of the spin. I reverse the way I'm using that counterclockwise spin, if that makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense. I've also worked with vortex kind of energies, not as intently and intensely as you, but what I have found once I understood it more, what I've been doing is I'm spinning one around my body, and then I have a second one, a smaller one inside that I spin to clear my soul or core, because sometimes, you know, when there are attacks on me or programs trying to come in, some of them are weaker and they only get to my body and I just need to spin the outer vortex. But there are some that are very powerful and they can even go through the first vortex. It can't repel them, and then I have to start spinning another second, more internal vortex. I don't know if you have experience with that.
I do, and especially when I've worked with clients as well, where let's say, you know, you are going right into the heart chakra or you're going down into more of the sexual body where there's shadow, you can open, like you're saying, you can open up a small little mini vortex right targeted right into the area that you want to just blast that stuff out, and it's very effective and very fast. Well, one of the things to it add in this process, Max, is consider seeing this core pillar that runs up the center of our bodies as like a crystalline honeycomb around the outer edge. And as you build that, so I'm just going to connect with you real quickly, and we're just going to start to form it stronger. The goal here is that the soul and the human spirit live inside that crystalline honeycombed core pillar. It's called the order matrix, and it's at the heart and solar plexus. So it's right there at your center of gravity in the center. And then you're kind of pulling it into that central space there in the center of the body. And then you form this crystalline honeycomb around the outer edge of the honeycomb. And it's almost like how they had me build it is I would get this image of the Parthenon in Greece, and it had the 12 pillars connecting to the 12 dimensions of our universe, and they're circling around the core pillar. Okay, so you're getting 12 around one, which is sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there we go. And then you begin to almost weave that honeycomb to around the 12 pillars. And what I found there, and there you go, you're starting to pull more of the soul and the human containment. This is like I call it the sacred inner sanctuary. This is their home inside us. And this is where you can even see where the soul and the human self come together in a loving embrace and connect heart chakra to heart chakra right in the center there.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, and starts to bond them.
Yeah, and what I found too, it relates to an earlier question from one of the callers. What I found, I was actually able not just to repel energies, but at a really high spin rate, and especially the double high spin rate, I was actually able to transmute the energies, to actually make them go almost poof, you know?
Yes.
Like,
well, and
spin
that's
them
good,
into non-existence.
That's what I do. I actually spin them into the galactic core, which is a zero-point field, and it poof, it just absorbs.
Mm-hmm.
Goes right in. So, yes, so it is transforming that energy, that shadow energy, if you want to call it, or discordant energy, into energy for the universe where it's in unity consciousness now. And also, too, as you build this crystalline core, there'll be times where I will feel there was an attack, and it's almost like kind of like slime on the outer boundary, but the inner core now becomes completely immune and nothing can ever get in there again. So it's just going to be so contained and so strong, that soul presence can make it so immune to the outside disturbances. But you may feel like there's times where I feel like I just kind of got a little dirt on the outer layer there, you know. It's like, ooh, okay.
Exactly. It's on it, but it can't get in.
No,
you know?
Can't get in.
That's because in the past it sometimes could come into my soul,
oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But now it's just slimy and dirty, but it can't infect anymore.
No. So you become immune to bacteria, virus. You become immune to everything that is discordant in the collective field. And this is when we really start to regain our health. We start to transmute the DNA. We get the corrupted coding, the hybrid coding out of the DNA. So it's an amazing process. So good. So you're at a point now where you just get slime. And I just take a dead sea salt bath every night, wash my aura, gone, and I can sleep well. And that way then it's kind of a hygiene maintenance of your auric field to the point where hopefully, you know, we're going to the outer world, we'll no longer be polarized. And that way then we won't have to deal with this. But until then, this is just, you know, the steps to take.
Yeah, thank you very much. And
oh,
I just wanted to add one more thing and then I'll be done. I just wanted to confirm, too, that, you know, what you said about the biological and spiritual family is very, very true for me. I had to totally cut off or majorly decrease contact with my biological family because of my ascension attempts, you know, because it just didn't resonate anymore, you know, and so I resonated and I can identify with a lot of the things you said, and I just wanted to thank you again.
Oh,
and
you're so
everybody
welcome.
Else thank you, Lavender and Ariel, for the show, and I'll go offline now.
Also, just if you want, and for all the listeners, Max, there is at the website there's free downloads to do vortex meditations. So if you want to play with some more of this technique, they're there for you. I have one on the front page on how to raise your vibration. So it's a really good one to use, especially for the beginners. So of course, I'm bringing this out to make this available to everyone. So that's there
okay.
for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All the best to everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Namaste. Bye, Max. Okay.
Can we get that website one more time, just because she's been speaking about it so much?
Oh, sure. It's newearthevolution.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and that is posted on our show page if you didn't have a pencil at the time. You can always refer there later. Okay, we have, this show is just flying by, which it only does when we have really hot, great information. We have another caller. We have quite a few callers, actually, and I'm trying to focus. Oh, there it is. Okay, we're going to talk to Hugh next. Hello, Hugh, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening. How are you tonight, ladies?
Hello. Ray.
I'm calling from Virginia. Actually, a horrible thunderstorm outside, but it's starting to subside a little bit. You were talking about ego earlier, and I was interested in what you were saying because I'm trying to do some very big things to help in the overall betterment of mankind and the business arena mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some no-risk strategies that I'm trying to release, and I prefer to stay in the background and empower others. I did come into the focus of someone who was doing what he calls better work, but it seems to be all about him because he has accomplished so much, and he offered me a substantial amount of money, which I turned down, but he's still very curious about me, and I prefer, again, to empower the right people instead of just, it's not about the money, it's about transforming the world for the betterment of all.
Right, right. So are you talking more about how to deal with when you're confronted with other people's ego will?
Both. I like to keep my own humility because I feel my purpose is when I do come out just to be a way shower,
mm-hmm.
to show people that, the things that I've been through. And I know that when I am out in that fashion and can empower the masses, that
yeah.
I can step into anything at any time to, you know, satisfy my financial needs.
Okay. Well, it's a good question because we do have to support ourselves financially here, at least for now, with money. And so what I found in working with the ego is a couple things. Is the more that – so the ego wants to see itself as separate from the rest of the world. And so in a sense, it sees everyone else as competition, as potential competition or as the enemy. And that – so watch for any kind of thoughts or, like, strings of consciousness here that are running that – the ego would try to separate you from the community of one. So that would be one of the things that I really locked on, is anywhere I would hear that in my mind or feel where I was in judgment or that was trying to separate me from the others. That's the ego. So anytime I would catch it, even if you can in the minute, you know, grab that string like the tail and yank it out with the vortex spin. And this is how I was just like one by one pulling these suckers out, because I didn't want anything running in my system that was putting me juxtaposed against the rest of humanity. You know, I didn't want to be separated. The thing is because when we can feel our commonality and we can feel connected to each other, then we can feel empathy for how others feel. We can feel empathy for what, you know, the pain they've been going through, their suffering they've been going through. And what I found is compassion erases polarity, and it's the polarity that is keeping the ego separate. So the more that you can be in empathy and feel compassion for others, you're not at risk of the ego then to assert itself, if that makes sense. Because the ego really feels it's grandiose and it feels that it's better than others. So the more that you can be on this common playing field, like you said, and humble and feeling the commonality, which really is this spiritual life force that's, you know, streams through all of us, is our commonality. It's what connects all of us. And then you are in that space of heart and space of compassion. So the more you can live in the heart, pull down from the mind, the ego lives up in the mind, so the more that you can. And so this is what I do in meditation. I get up in the morning, I get my feet locked onto the crystalline grids, and I pull my focus down into my heart, because the heart is actually our psychic brain. They've even found brain cells in our heart. And so I live now more from my heart gut, and I don't go up to the mind too much anymore, and I certainly don't make any decisions from the mind anymore, because I know that's ruled by the ego and I don't give my control there anymore. So that's one way of kind of monitoring your own system. And then when you are confronted with someone who's pushing their ego will against you, it doesn't feel good at all, as you said. It's just it feels out of balance. It just doesn't feel comfortable. And that would be then your own sensory system kind of setting up the alarm bells that this is not from heart, this is not coming from unity consciousness, this is ego. And I would just back off from it. I wouldn't engage with it, and I wouldn't collaborate with someone that you're feeling that from. And that way then you're trusting the heart brain, and you're trusting your sensory system, and you're really living from that soul truth now. And you won't be at risk for the ego to push in and dominate.
Oh, that was such a beautiful answer. I just wanted to make one or two quick comments related
sure.
to that beautiful answer. I have a self-taught expertise of what I term creative utilization of information, and I have documentation that will prove out things that I say. It's a very powerful concept. But I created a poem many years ago as a motivation in my life, and it sort of will indicate some of the things that you were saying and help people. And this poem is on a blog, if I could share that.
Oh, sure.
Yes, if you Google the word creativity, the number 777.com, I dedicate it to my wife. It's in the President Ronald Reagan Library. It's discussed in the interview that can be downloaded from the blog as a weapon against terrorism, and currently I'm using it to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The poem is only 3 lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. It sort of sums up what life should be all about.
That's lovely. That also feels like it's, I can see an imprint of it on a, like a sacred tablet. So it feels like you're downloading some sacred geometry in that.
Yes, I'm trying to get a lot of messages out, but even just little words to empower, put power to words so that people reflect in their minds when they see something so simple as a little word. Just take the word how, which is like an Indian greeting, and just empowering it with, say, healing ourselves worldwide or something like that.
Well, it's like a language of light. So you're coding into the light consciousness of the word, the intent that we were talking about that earlier. It's powerful. This is great.
Yes, and I just recently came across a woman. I've never met her physically. She's in another state, and she's holding a space of love in her heart for the world. And my wife was like an earth angel to me for 35 and a half years. You'll see a picture of her on her wedding day on the blog. It's a very unusual picture. I've never seen another one like it. My profile is behind her. But I felt that she taught me the most important lesson life has to teach, and that's unconditional love. So I've extended that to this woman for what she's doing for the world, and she's accepted my love in that fashion.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that to me is feeling like the energy that's vibrating out of your core, and that is part of your soul purpose, is to be an anchor point for that here on Earth.
Yes, and I'll let you take other callers, but that was a very excellent answer, and I hope people, aside from myself, will benefit from that.
Oh, thank you, Hugh. Good luck to you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, we are going to check in with our switchboard host, Ms. Tammy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Boy, I'm having a hard time watching the switchboard. I'm listening to all this information at the same time.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Awesome show. I would like if Meg could talk about her book a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was, let's see here, I was doing a radio show on World Puja in 2009, and all this information, I think that the radio show actually kind of triggered this to come out, you know, it made me sit down and think and channel. And so the book is channel information about what I went through going through the ascension process, kind of where I started as the walk-in and all of the problems I had to deal with in this abusive family and all of the mental and emotional and physical health problems and all of this. So it kind of takes me through that. And then what are these different stages that I experience that are, you know, we could get stuck in any one of them. And so my goal is also to help people realize, okay, not to be alarmed by this and give up. Like, know that I am going to have to deal with the ego. You know, I am going to have to clean out my shadow. I am going to have to deal with polarity in my system. But know that that is part of this process of moving through so that we can return back to our original divine human blueprint, get the DNA up into 12-strand DNA again, you know, become crystalline beings. And then at the tail end, I write about my vision of how I saw, you know, was being shown the new earth and what, and this is a organic hologram that we're forming now into the future, this new earth. And so it's just really, truly, you know, at the birthing stages right now, it's very exciting. So that's what the book is about, is that process. And for those who are really interested in working through the process, it helps them know what to expect and how to move through each process. And right now, I'm selling it at my website, but I'm in the process of getting it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and also building a meditation for each chapter of each of the different stages you go through, you know, in the ascension, so that we'll have they'll correlate, the meditation download will correlate with the book.
Awesome. And I just love your website, and I wanted everyone to know, I haven't worked with you personally, but I worked with Jennifer Templeman.
Oh, yes. She's one of the healers.
Yes, when she was just practicing, she had some people to do before she got, I guess, totally in the swing of things. And it was just an amazing process. You know, I've worked with I've listened to you since you were on Pooja Network.
Okay.
Just had wonderful experiences, you know, going through the vortex spin. And when I worked with her, I mean, it was just such an effective system. I was really in a low place, and it really shifted my energy.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tammy, for that. That's a great testimony. It does shift fast. It does. If there's, you can see just within months, you can see how fast you're changing.
Oh, yeah, there was no, like, instantly, you know, I felt so much lighter and so much more balanced.
Well, I found even when working with clients that by the time we were done with the hour, they can't remember what we worked on because we took it out.
Oh, I am sure. I am sure. I look forward to working with you personally one day, son.
You're probably going, why am I paying her any money? What's wrong?
And thank you so much, and I highly recommend everyone to check out your website. You just are so giving with your information and all the free things that you have on there. And you explain things so wonderful. You're such a genius, but you break it down for everyone to understand. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for inviting me. This is a great group.
My pleasure.
Okay. Thanks, Tammy, and good job on the switchboard.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, the time is just flying by. We have another couple of callers, and that might be, then we'll get back to the chat room.
Okay,
we next have Ralph. You are on the air, sweetie. Hello, Ralph.
Well, thank you for, I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Ralph.
Okay. Hi, how you doing? Thank you very much. It's a wonderful program, as always, and appreciate you ladies having the courage to talk about these things. And my question is around how do you differentiate between the suggestions that you receive being from ego and those being from self, from your higher self, when you're striving to find out what your real purposes.
Okay, that's a great question.
You're seeking for your purpose.
Yeah. And I had to learn this myself too, because I didn't have a teacher, so I was just kind of learning as I went here. So all of my guidance had to come in from higher self. And I basically said, I'm not taking this out into the world unless I can verify that this is truth. Like, I'm not going to be an idiot. So what I did is I spent a couple years on refining my ability to feel vibration and to hear spirit and to see spirit. Now, that is not necessary for everybody. What I would do is just focus on how it feels to you. So just focus on the vibration. And it needs to come in from your heart, because the soul and the human connect at the main hub here, which is our heart center. So I would ask to feel what the vibration of a yes was as it would come in from my heart chakra up into my throat, and I would ask what a vibration is of a no. And I train myself to feel that frequency really strong and really immediate. That was then, and I did very basic yes and no questions, even out driving. Is this for my highest good to turn here? Yes or no? You know, it was just, that is how I trained myself to feel and determine the truth of the vibration, and then you get better with practice. So that would be the first place I would start. Also, what I've noticed in doing this over the years is the ego seems to come in through the right side of my head and ear, and my higher self comes in through the left side and through the left ear, and this is if I'm actually hearing it. And I found that to be the case, in that the feminine energy is on our left side, the masculine energy is on our right side. Our ego is running through the masculine energy, and our spirit is running in through the feminine energy. So it's getting, you know, really good at feeling where that thought, you just had a thought or an idea, well, how did that stream into your brain? Did it come in through the right or left side? So that would be something else to kind of watch and pay attention to and feel into. But then, even if you get an idea that, Ralph, that might come in through the mind, I still sit with it and pull it down into my heart brain, before I ever act on anything. So I will get ideas, and I will sit with it for days. I will feel it in there, and hold it in there, because that has to get verified and confirmed with a real strong power surge that this is matching to me. It's a resonance to me. And then once I get the big old surge, then I know time to use my masculine energy and go out and take action on it in the world. So it's that would be as far as guidance on how to kind of stay on point and run your life according to your purpose and your plan. The other thing, too, is when you get into vortex energy, especially if you're just in your own private meditation, I have the CD to work through all the seven chakras, you know, and that's a clearing meditation. But also what I find is I will get my feet on the earth, onto the crystal grids, open up the vortex, run the tones, get myself set, and then I will either sit or lie down, and I just do the deep pranic breathing of the crystalline divine light and feed it in. And what this does is it starts to open and expand the core pillar inside. The soul can come in more, and you really begin to feel the light energy amp up. I will start to sweat. I get hot because literally it's an electrical current. So now I'm running electrical power, and I'm actually starting to amplify and shake, and I'm getting sweating, and I'm hot, and then lightheaded, and it's like, woo, we're pumping up. But the key here is to stretch the capacity of the body, almost like a rubber band. You're stretching the body's capacity to run electrical current, right? It's not used to this. So we're adapting, and we're keep practicing, and you're stretching your ability, and you're going to be able to feel frequency at such a refined ability as you go into practicing this, where you will know, that was a hit, because you just had a surge right through your body. Your soul just gave you such a loud answer. It was such a hit, you just knew, oh, that's it. And that's where you're heading. That's where you want to go, where there's no doubt.
Okay, thanks very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That was a great visual, Meg. That was a really good visual. Thank you, Ralph. Okay, we are going to check back with our chat room. Okay, here we go. Hello, Purple Sage.
Hello.
Hello, people in the chat room.
Uh-oh. They're all waving back.
Okay, hi.
I have one question from someone who said that they experienced that unity consciousness. They experienced, when they experienced it, I guess they felt fear of singularity as well. Kind of like, and I don't know who this is because I don't watch Star Trek, but Borg on Star Trek.
So the fear, there's a fear of singularity, they said?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're wondering if you, Meg, experienced this, and if so, how did you transcend that fear?
Okay, that's a good question. When I first started working with my Syrian council higher self in my own private meditation in the spinning vortex, I was able to move my way up each chakra, finally getting, you know, up to the top of the pillar here, you know, getting to the higher self. And then they said, all right, go across, go into the Godhead. I was like, what? Because I was afraid I was just going to disappear. Someone would find my dead body there, you know. They were like, go in. And it took me a while to get the courage because of what I think this person's writing about, because it is that fear that you're going to disappear, right? You know, you're just going to dissolve into this single point of light. So, but what I found is when I could just trust and dissolve into the pool of light, which is the Godhead, in our galactic core, it's just the zero-point field of light, and I just merged. I found my body disappeared, and I just went right into this pool of light, and it's exhilarating, it's bliss, so you just immediately start to feel the emotion of it, it's bliss and connectivity to all that exists in our universe. But then I began to realize, hey, I'm still here. I feel me. I feel my consciousness. I feel my unique vibration. I call it our energy signature. It didn't disappear. and I'm kind of bouncing along in this pool of God light, and now I felt, hey, I feel someone next to me. I can't see them, but I can feel them. I feel their energy signature. So what I realized is even in unity consciousness, even in death, when we go in back into the divine, we still exist. We still are a valid presence in this universe. We have our own unique energy signature. So there's nothing to fear. You will not be annihilated. You will not disappear. You will not dissolve. Really, all that's changing is the form of your physical body. That's all that changes. And it becomes a pool of light as opposed to physical carbon-based density cells. So it's really just what happens is we shift from being a particle field to the antiparticle field. That's really what's happening. We go into the space around the particles. We become more of the pool of light of the quantum field where all exists as opposed to this hard little ball of a particle of energy. And so there's really nothing to fear. It's more of just a transformation or transfiguration of our consciousness from hard density to light. And that's what we're bringing here. So my goal is that I will never die. I will transform this physical biology into a light body, and I will return back to the divine. I'm not planning on dying. I'm going to put that out there.
I'm signing up. I'm telling you, I'm signing up right now.
I can attest that this actually does work because a couple years ago I was actually very close to death with cancer, and I totally turned it around and have rebirthing the health of my body, and so it can be done. And it was part of my lesson to see that this actually does work and that we can apply this in ways we haven't even thought about. So we're moving into a future new earth where we will be doing vibrational medicine. We won't be doing drugs and surgery. So we do not have to die.
Excellent. Well, I you know what I was thinking when you were talking about the oneness and going up through the pillar, and that it's almost like if you were a solo flute player,
yes,
playing one single instrument, and then you suddenly joined a symphony orchestra, and the you know the divine music, you're still just you're still the flute player.
Mm-hmm.
But your single note is now part of a chorus.
And I think we feel it first emotionally. I felt it first in my heart. I felt like connected and with love to everything. You know, I didn't feel any separation anymore emotionally first. That was where I really felt the bliss, right? You're just, I'm with everything. This is amazing. And then you begin to see that you also are part of this, you know, family of soul energies all around you, too. So it's true. You are the flute, and then you are the symphony simultaneously. And I know that's hard for our lower human mind to grasp, but that's truly where we're heading, where we can be in the antimatter field and the particle field at the same time, and that's how we will be living, in the space and in form at the same time.
What's the best of both worlds?
Yes. And then we can continue to use the vortex to pull from the quantum field of all that exists into what we're creating in form. So we become these manifestors. And so it's an amazing way to live.
I could see it. It's almost like divine math.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, Purple Sage, do we have any other questions from the chat room?
That's it for the moment.
Okay. Well, we're going to take another call, and I will try to get back to the chat room one more time. We only have about 10 or 11 minutes.
Okay.
So I'll check back in just a few. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Purple
Sage. Bye.
Okay, we are going to take one more call, and let's see where I do have a lot of people listening on the switchboard. Where'd you go, Tricia? I'm looking for you. Okay, here you go.
Hi.
Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
Oh, what a fantastic show. Hi, girls.
Hello.
Meg, I was the one that had put the question in about after I had the geometry download.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a vortex energy when I saw the word love.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that when we were just talking about, you know, being in that space and thinking, am I going to come back when you go into that vortex? When I saw the word love, that actually was what hit my heart, that it came from that,
yeah.
that they sent me that word, looking like the 60s,
yep.
you know, that flowy letter. And it was quite lovely. The other thing that, when I've had a few experiences in the vortex, you know, that energy, and I had them for years, and I always sort of go halfway and then just like in that fright go, no, I'm not going there. Or I didn't know whether I was leaving or coming or somebody was entering me or I was going. There was so much energy around me. But one of the analogies that I use, it's really simple, is for me, it felt like I was on that spinning circle in a sphere where you stand against the wall and it spins. And
yep.
you elevate up, but you can't come down.
It
and
does work that way.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. I just sort of go into it, and I just spin out. And you do come back. So
yeah,
I just
one of the things that I would add to that, too, is first get your feet anchored to the I call it our 12D platform. So it's the disc under our feet that we lock the magnets at the bottom of our feet onto the crystalline grids. That way then, you know, in that analogy, the bottom drops out. And I did it once when I was a kid, and I couldn't, I freaked. So I need to feel I'm rooted to the earth when I run this vortex. I need to feel that I'm stable and I can control it. And I don't lose my bearing. You know, I don't lose the ground underneath me. So what I do is I get the magnets on the feet locked onto that gold disc, and the template for the vortex is in the platform, and so it opens up around me, and that way then I can modulate, I can slow it down, I can speed it up, you know, I can push it way out, I can pull it in, so that I become kind of the navigator of this of the vortex, and that way then it's not so, I didn't have that fear that I had when I was in that game at the fair, you know, the vortex thing at the fair. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, no. I understand because it's not sort of fearful, but I never, when you were talking about it, and it was so real when it happened to me, it was quite a few years ago.
Wow.
I didn't have anybody even on blog that was talking about this kind of space that you can't. And so that was all that I was sort of bringing up. And I know something happened to me when I was very young because I had a vortex energy. Because I remember sitting, for some reason, sounds weird, but I was sleeping in with my dad because my sister was very ill and my mother had to sleep in the same room. She was very sick, and it was around the time that she was dying. And I went to a vortex of energy that I went shooting right up into the sky. I mean, I could actually feel it. And I remember sitting up in bed, and I kind of woke my dad because it was sort of, I shot up in the bed the same way that I shot out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still feel it to this day, that feeling,
yeah,
from way back then.
Happening is when we get into the vortex energy, we're shifting the gravitational field. So we can actually pop into different time-space coordinates. That sounds like what happened is you like basically kind of teleported over into the bed there. So it is a vehicle for that kind of interdimensional travel, for sure. And this is, I think, where we're heading towards, again, not to sound too Star Trek-y, but I think this is where we're heading towards in our future, where we will be able to travel into the different dimensions, because we're going to really get masterful of using this momentum. Who's going to need gas in our airplanes, you know?
I will let you girls go, but just on a funny note, back in, I don't even know how far it was, the first Star Trek movie that came out, I ended up owning the licensing rights for the Star Trek jacket, and I sold my Star Trek jacket all over the world, and it was funny. I was in a magazine with Scotty, and so, you know, they've been beaming me up. I mean,
it sounds like your soul has already mastered how to use vortex energy because you're doing it unconsciously, right? You're just already naturally doing it. So it sounds like this
I've had things where, you know, as a kid I was doing a levee board, sort of, you know, one of those boards with girls who kept saying, make the light grow stronger. And the thing is, we were looking at the candle. The candle didn't do anything, but the electric light in the kitchen completely blew up. You know, I mean, it blew up into, it was only the metal left in the socket. So that kind of scared me back when I was 14.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, don't do your signing off, and love and light to everybody. Fantastic
Thank
show.
You. Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, Tricia. Bye-bye.
I'll mute me out. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, well, we just have a few minutes left. I'm going to check one more time with the chat room, and then Lavendar and Sierra and Tammy and Purple Sage and I will all come back on and bid everyone a good night. So one more time. Hello, Purple Sage. We're checking in with the chat room. Do we have any final questions?
This is Lavendar, and I'd like to mention that we have the Teton meeting starting July 1 through 7, and that's when the beings are going to be inside the mountains at the Tetons in Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be 144,000 beings that will be visiting there out of body every 45 minutes for 7 days. So I hope to hear some great reports when... after the 7th of July, so just wanted to remind everyone.
I'd love to hear
that too. And we will be broadcasting on the 5th is the next Tuesday, so it'll be right in the middle of those Teton meetings.
Mm.
So we will, we do have information in our Vault of Knowledge, past Teton reports. We also did a teleconference on that, which is also on the website on the headline news page. So you might want to check that out and get up to speed on what the Teton meetings are. So if you have any unusual occurrences in your life, you will understand and possibly get more usefulness out of it. So Purple Sage, are you with us? Okay. I think so. Hello, Purple Sage. We're checking in.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
I was sorry about that. I was on mute.
Okay. I was about to suggest that you might want to check your mute button.
Thank you. For
So any final questions from our chat room tonight?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to thank you so much, our chat room audience. For being with us this week, and special thanks to Tammy for taking care of the switchboard. Tammy, your mic is now open, and we have Sierra, Lavendar, and I just want to say on behalf of our whole team, Meg, what a fascinating and completely helpful new understanding I have. And I am definitely going to be contacting you because I resonate so much with what you were saying. It's like completely right on. Completely
right on. Well, thank you for having
me.
This has been really fun. So I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, it's wonderful. And we do strongly urge everyone to take a look and visit Meg's website, which is newearthevolution.com. And... you want to spell the Zeptepi one for them?
It's ZEPTEPI-alchemy.com, ZeptepiAlchemy.com.
Okay, great. And those are posted on our show page if you need them for later reference in the comment section and also in the show description. Well, until next time, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us. We're here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, so do the math. We are grateful to have people calling in from all over the world in whatever time zone you happen to be. So Lavendar, Sierra, Tammy, and Purple Sage, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Meg, we hope to have you back on for the Vortex Part 2. Because
okay.
I mean, in all the years you've been doing it, I know you've just a total wealth of information and great unified field therapist.
Well, I'd love to come back, so we'll definitely fit it in.
Excellent. Okay. We will do that.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Ladies, good night. Listeners, good night. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.